First reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, to chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them. And now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we're going back to basics in Lent, and I hope that last week, if you were here, you enjoyed hearing Matt Coombs talking about how can I be saved. Paul says in Romans that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But saved for what? Saved for what? And it's that question that we move on to this week. Because when we are saved, it changes everything. It changes everything. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it in all its fullness. And our life, when we have been saved, is completely transformed. We live by a different set of priorities. We have a completely different framework for understanding what's going on around us. And the Bible describes this in different ways. It talks about us having a new identity, an identity that's rooted in Christ. It talks about us joining a new community. It talks about us being children of God. And here in Paul's writings, he uses this evocative phrase that we are citizens of heaven in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. So it's that we're going to explore today. What does it mean for our new life in Christ, having been saved and set free, to be lived as a citizen of heaven? And I think there's a risk that we're going to mishear what Paul is trying to say here. I think there's a risk that when we hear citizen of heaven, we kind of interpret that as we're really from a different planet. We're from a different planet, planet heaven, and we seem to have accidentally been stranded here on planet Earth, and we're trying to get home. It's kind of ET theology, yeah? It's kind of, you know, here I am and I really want to go home. I don't think that's what Paul is getting at all when he talks about citizenship of heaven. It helps to understand a bit of the cultural context of Philippi to see what he's really getting at. Philippi was a Roman colony, and that had a very specific meaning. In about the middle of the first century BC, so about 100 years before Paul is writing to them, there'd been a major battle near Philippi and part of the Roman Civil War, and the emperor's side was victorious, and to thank the people of Philippi, he made them an official Roman colony. And he also, as the soldiers were dispersed, he gave them land in that area so that the colony of Philippi was suddenly filled with people who were citizens of Rome. And there was a lot of good sense in this. If you've just finished a war, you don't really want all of those veteran soldiers suddenly returning to Rome wondering what they're going to get out of it. So the emperors very wisely would give them land somewhere else. But the point was this, that Philippi was very proud of being a Roman colony. And it would do all the normal Roman things, but more so. They used to live as more Roman than the Romans. They would do everything they could to have impressive civil buildings and to have the Roman baths and to have all the amenities that you would find in Rome. They would compete in their festivals to be as grand and as amazing as you would see back in Rome. The point is that these citizens of Rome were living as if they were in Rome. They wanted to bring a little bit of Rome to where they were. They weren't in the wrong place. They were in the right place. They did belong in Philippi. That's where they were rooted. But they wanted to bring a little bit of the goodness of Rome to that community where they lived. And I think that's what Paul is hinting at when he talks about us being citizens of heaven. He's saying that we as Christians are now people who are aware of the realm of heaven, the realm where God is. And our role in the world as the saved people of God in relationship with him is to bring all the goodness of heaven to earth. For a little bit of that kingdom of heaven to break out wherever we are. So what does it look like to be citizens of heaven? Well, three simple thoughts. One, citizenship implies that you are part of a community, doesn't it? You can't be a citizen of something on your own. I can't suddenly decide that I am a citizen of the vicarage. You have to be in it with other people. There needs to be a community that you are part of. And Paul is very aware of that community of citizens of heaven. Verse 17, he says, "Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us." And if that sounds a little bit complicated, you're right. It's quite tricky when you try and understand what Paul is getting at in the Greek. He seems to have made up a whole new word, something like co-imitate. But his sense seems to be that we're all following Jesus, that's a given, but that we're kind of all in it together, that we're jostling along, that we're on this journey as a family, as a cohort of people who are all picking up good ideas from one another, seeing what Christ looks like in those around us, and that influencing us. We're all on this journey as one. We are citizens together. We belong together. People sometimes ask me if Christians really need to go to church, if they really need to be part of a community, because actually it's quite feasible, isn't it, to encounter Jesus and to accept him as Lord, and for that to be enough. And I think to some extent that's right. I don't think that church is the only place where we can encounter Jesus. But I don't think if you try and be a Christian on your own, you're doing it in the way that the New Testament expected you to do it, and the way which I think is best for us, where we travel together, where we are a family, where we look out for one another, where we encourage each other, where we inspire each other by being able to see what God is doing in other people's lives. So we are citizens of heaven because we belong to this bigger community. We are citizens of heaven as well because we have a different story. We have a big story going on that defines who we are. Communities always have a story that defines them, that helps them to understand who they are and how they got here. You can imagine the people of Philippi would tell that story of how they came to be a Roman colony and how they have such pride in that and their shared history. You see a lot of that going on in our own nation about, you know, the reaching back to the great glories of the past and how D-Day and the Battle of Britain were so important in what formed us together as the nation that we are now. And in the same way, we as citizens of heaven have a story, but it's a huge story. It's a global story. It's an all-time, all-places story that begins with creation, which laments over the fall and the corruption that distances us from God, that is centered on the cross of Christ. Paul comes back to it again in this passage in verse 18. The cross of Christ, absolutely central, that enables us to be saved. But then also has a future aspect as well, one that we sometimes let slip off of our agenda and off of our radar. In verse 20, Paul reminds us that we are expecting a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven. Notice that Jesus comes from heaven to earth, and it's not us escaping off to heaven, it's Jesus coming to earth to finish what he has already begun, what he began when he was here. The redemption of all things, the making new of all things, that picture that we see at the end of Revelation. And what does this mean for us as citizens of heaven? It means we know how this story ends. It means we know what is coming in the end. That whatever we may be facing, whatever it looks like in the weeks and months ahead, we know that this story ends well. We know that Christ returns and restores everything, and that even death itself is undone as he brings all things to its glorious completion. So we're a people with a story. We're a people with a story that began with our loving Creator who made us for himself and which will end with him bringing us back to himself. If we're a people who have a big community and a people who have a big story, then we're also a people who have a great big God. I'm sorry to go back to Sunday school songs for that, but I can't think of any better words for it. Stand firm in the Lord, Paul says to us in chapter 4, verse 1, at the end of our reading today. Stand firm in the Lord. And it's easy for us to sort of forget how provocative some of these titles for Jesus are. To call him Lord, to call him the Son of God in a Roman culture was to claim some of the titles that Caesar used for himself and to give them to Jesus. To say that actually our first allegiance lies not to the state, but to our Lord, who is the leader, the head overall of our community. It is a subversive thing to say, and I hasten to add that, of course, the scriptures encourage us to be good citizens of the countries in which we live as well, but we have this kind of dual nationality, don't we, where our first allegiance, our guiding principles, come from the fact that we follow this great big God, that we stand firm with our Lord, that we let him set the agenda for our lives. So, citizens of heaven, because we are citizens together in a great big community, because we share a great big story, and because we follow a great big Lord. I want to finish with one more illustration of what it might be to be a citizen of heaven. I grew up in a proper colonial family. You know, if you're thinking Philippi was a colonial town of Rome, then I grew up in South Africa for the first 10 years of my life. My parents were South African. Three of my four grandparents were South African born as well. And they had gone out there as part of that wave of Europeans who were going out to South Africa to help to build the nation. And my grandparents, how can we put this? They were a little bit eccentric at times because they did that thing that people living abroad do, and which they passed on to my parents, and which to some extent they passed on to me, which is they just behave as if they're still back home. Have you ever come across people who do that? So for instance, my grandparents lived in a house in South Africa with a tiled roof, because houses have tiled roofs, don't they? Well, not in Africa they don't, because in Africa, every time the hailstones start falling, and they're about that big, they smash all the tiles on your roof. But no, they persisted. They had a house with tiles on the roof, and they would just change the tiles. They used to insist that we drank coffee in the morning and tea in the afternoon. And that if you were taking tea, you used to have something to eat with it as well, because it was high tea. My favourite was a bit of toast with fish paste on it. And my grandmother had this ability to pronounce the H in the word white. I don't know how you do that, but she could do it because she was convinced that this was the Queen's English. This is what she had received as the proper English way of speaking, and she was going to persist doing that, whatever was going on in England at the time. Why did they do all these things? Why did my family continue all these slightly eccentric, quasi-English things, which quite often, in fact, the English had stopped doing quite a while ago? Well, I think it was because they saw themselves as having another allegiance. They saw themselves as belonging to a bigger picture. And rightly or wrongly, and we might be a bit hesitant about using this language now, they believed that they were there in Africa to bring some of the goodness of Europe to that continent. They thought that they were there to help to develop it, to put in place good systems of government and education, that they were there to bring science and technology and to bring order and justice, that they were there to, that we would definitely not use this word, but they were there to civilize the country in some ways. That was what they thought they were doing. And they thought it was important to hold on to their identity as English people in Africa with that vision. I wonder whether that teaches us something about being citizens of heaven here on earth. That we are rooted as part of this community that has a big story and a big Lord. We are rooted somewhere else, that our first allegiance, that our first way of thinking belongs as part of this community, and we are bringing all the goodness of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be part of that community, to tell that story. We're bringing that to our world. We are citizens of heaven. We are good news to people around us because we are bringing them hope. We are showing them a different way of living. So I wonder what being a citizen of heaven is going to look like for you this week as you go out of these doors into a world which may not really understand what it is to be a citizen of heaven at all. What's your week going to look like that's going to remind you that you are a citizen of heaven? How are you going to get alongside others in our community? How are you going to be meeting up with people who are also trying to be imitators of Christ, who are part of our great big community? How are you going to be remembering that story this week? Whatever the challenges are, whatever the mountains there might be in the next weeks and months ahead of you, how are you going to hold on to that story which says we know how this ends? And actually, our Lord is coming back, and this will end well. How are you going to live this week as one who stands firm with the Lord? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have saved us for yourself, and you have made us citizens of your kingdom. And we pray that this week we will live as citizens of your kingdom, that we will know that reality, that we will keep ourselves rooted in you and your story and your community, and that by doing that we may be good news to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.